This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Shello, turtles, and tortoises, welcome. And thank you very much for tuning in.
I cannot chortle.
Oh, thank you for putting that in my head. I will be saying thank you throughout.
I'm choking on air bubbles. I'm laughing so much.
On this show, we'll hear pitches from players and DMs with unique homebrew ideas, and we turtles decide which ones sink and which ones swim. Please allow me to introduce our talented tank of turtles. They are Brian Murphy, the No Chortles Turtle.
I'm not here to chortle.
Emily Axford, the epitome of tortitude.
Thank you very much for having me, Shell.
Caldwell Tanner, the turtis who puts fun furthest.
Let's put the fin back in financials.
Okay.
And I am Jake, the good sport tort. So with that, let's dive in to the turtle tank with a pitch from our first halfling. You guys ready?
Sploosh! I'm ready.
Sploosh. Disgusting.
Sploosh, not splooge. Good.
Right.
Well, I haven't heard the pitch yet.
Andrew O.C. writes, "Greetings, esteemed turtles. Today I'm presenting the Oracle's Shop. In addition to providing your typical divination spell services, identify, augury, etc., visitors to the shop can have their fortune told for a small 10 gold fee. The fortune telling consists of laying out 3 tarot cards representing the character's past, present, and future. The first 2 give the player the opportunity to explore their past and present circumstances, while the future card activates a first level spell that will take effect at some point over the next day at the DM's discretion.
Whoa.
These spells are associated with the meaning of the card and include spells such as Bless, Bane, Comprehend Language, and Gift of Alacrity.
Okay.
Thus far, the resulting readings have been potent and unnervingly accurate. With your eggs and support, we will be able to expand to create an unrivaled multidimensional Oracle business dynasty.
Okay.
The tank's boiling. This is hot shit.
One of the reasons I love this is that I feel like a lot of the oracular spells like augury can feel very frustrating because the DM doesn't know how the dice are going to favor or curse you, so they can't always give you an accurate read. So having this tarot card where the future thing is a spell is something that is going to come into play feels very satisfying for me.
This just seems airtight across the board. Like you get, it's just a buffet. You're getting like a little like backstory flavor with your character because you flip that card. You get like how you're feeling in the present. And then you also get like, you know, either a boon or a bane depending. I just think that like it's a one-stop shop for like all of your character development needs.
The thing I'm a little curious about is you're saying backstory, but it's a randomly flipped card. So are you coming in like being like, okay, this is actually going to add a new shade of backstory to the character? Or do you have like already stuff that you know and you kind of shoehorn it in? I'd be kind of in favor of it. Since it is a randomly flipped card, I'd be in favor of it.
To play No Turtle Advocate, I am a little confused on some of the theming of it. Mm-hmm. Of like, right, like talking about like, how do you draw randomly from the past?
Yeah.
Although I guess you could do as if it's a tarot card reading on the actual character. So if
I think that's the intention.
Okay.
It's a tarot card. So your character, theoretically, you've like developed a backstory. So it's almost like a nice way, role play wise, to like let some of that come out in random role play. It's like this can come out during the tarot session.
I'd say that this would play out the best in terms of backstory. It's going to play out the best if you don't have that locked in stone. If you do have that locked in stone, then the cards coming over kind of feels pointless because you already know what you're going to say. But I really like the future one. And I like the present one because it can give you a shade of what's going on. I think it's something that you don't put in every town. I think it's something that is like a special one-off that is in a certain town that you go to that happens to be very clairvoyant.
Yeah, like Portland.
Only put in Portland. Yeah. This will work in a Portland. It's not going to fly in Chicago. It's not going to fly in Chicago.
No, I'm sorry.
It feels like this would be fun if the DM was good at giving a tarot reading. I would be like, oh yeah, I'll sit down for like a hard won surefoot tarot reading. That sounds cool.
Right.
I'd love to see that.
Yeah, it would it'd have to be coming from someone that lived in Portland to me.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. I would need to have gone to Stumptown previously so that I could get like some coffee and be like really charged up for this tarot card reading.
Shout out PDX for sure.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Okay. I'll be on a bike. That's my Portland reference. Oh, and my Uncle Bob will be there.
Yeah. Not to...
He's doing the reading.
Yeah, I think that I really like the identify thing, right? Because that's such a fun thing.
Yeah.
Augury, again, I feel like it can be hard because sometimes they're asking questions about will this be successful? I don't know if your dice roll well. But the thing I like the most is I like the identify, and I also like it's almost like a gamble. Let's take a gamble, see what card comes up, whether or not you're going to have a good day, right? You're either blessed or you're banned. It feels very simple and kind of fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I do like this idea. I think it has potential, but I think maybe for me, for my eggs, it's not fully cooked yet. I think it's
a soft scramble.
It's a soft scramble. I don't know that it's completely there for me.
Your eggs are runny over this idea.
Yeah. I'm not going to invest any eggs in this, but I don't even know what notes I would give. I guess my only thought is that it just, the future stuff feels a little bit arbitrary.
I like the future stuff. It's kind of like a gamble, right? Like, is today going to be good or is today going to be a little hairy?
I can see the situation where you're up against some sort of a pack of thieves or pirates or like the big bad. And like you totally forgotten about that tarot card. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, you trip on a stone as you're like running to like launch your attack and you have Bane cast on you or something like
that.
But then
then the card like caused that to happen. It didn't predict your future. Like you tripped on a rock.
Well, it's the way
I think
that...
it's fate. I think it's like you're predicting a little bit of your fate.
I guess that's what I'm confused about.
Yeah, because there's not
really
future prediction in a game where you're rolling dice
but
all
there
the time.
Is a
and
little...
this is a way to influence, to
there,
have...
There are those spells, though, that do predict the future and just require your DM to give you answers. So I guess my question is...
But I think that those are hard, right? Will I have a good fight against the big bad? You,
totally.
The DM, can't say whether or not I'm going to roll three nat ones
but
in a
row. But if you ask a tarot card, you could... interpret that in a way that's honestly probably clearer than you would in a normal conversation.
I just think it's cool to have cards. I think it's cool to have cards.
I agree that it's cool to have cards. I'm saying if Bane is randomly cast on you when, for instance, you trip over a rock or something,
yeah,
that doesn't make any sense.
Bane feels kind of harsh.
But
feels a little tough.
I guess if the DM is literally being like, cool, this card is going to give you Bane or Bless, mm-hmm. and then specifically cooks it so that later you meet like a necromancer or something. Yeah, there's ways to have
sick though, right? Because you could ask the DM, not know how it's going to play, right? You're like, what's your future? The death card comes up. Okay, does that mean that in the future, you just have like a resurrection or a revivify in your future? Does it mean that something, you know, like
totally.
You could kind of ask the DM, be open? Yeah, I get it. I see where it's hairy. How I would use it is I would just use it as a silly stop that like in Hot Boy Summer, everyone had drama over. Like it feels like a fun way to identify. It feels like a fun way to have a little bit of, hey, you can gamble on if you're going to have a good day or a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
And I would probably also like, especially with Hot Boy Summer, like we don't go too in depth with your characters. It's something that, sure, maybe I would do that backstory. And then I'm like, I'm sitting there, I pull up a card for you. Okay, actually, there's this little nugget in your backstory that we've never talked about.
Yeah, that's true.
Although maybe that feels a little invasive to the player, because then the player might be like, wait, what?
Yeah, but if they're asking for a tarot reading,
true. Then you are kind of saying
tarot is inherently a conversation. So like if you're having that conversation with your DM, like you're kind of like fleshing out backstory at the table a little bit, which can be fun.
Yeah.
And you're like letting the card be like kind of a learning tool for it. I'm all on board for this. Past Caldwell, present Caldwell, and future Caldwell all really dig this idea. So I will be investing a 3x multiplier of my eggs.
Amazing.
All right, then.
3x1, so 3.
So purchased.
I think that it's going to grow 3x. This is what's going to happen is I'm going to invest my eggs, and we're going to see 3x growth yield on this. And if you don't know what that means, then I guess go back to business school.
Em, are you bidding?
You know, a Caldwell came in so hot that I'm coasting. I'm coasting in the tank. I'm swimming in the corner.
You look sick. You're swimming upside down. Are you okay?
Yeah.
All right. Let's get on to our next hatchling. This idea comes from Best DM James. And they write, Get your eggs ready, Tortles, because if you've ever played a spellcaster, you'll want to get in on this cantrip buff.
Okay.
Are you tired of only combat cantrips scaling as you level up? Why is Firebolt doing 4d10 while Mage Hand and Guidance are just as powerful as if they were cast by a lowly apprentice?
Take my eggs! Take them!
No more will utility be sidelined. At level 11, when attack cantrips are 3 times as powerful, utility cantrips now only cost a bonus action to cast. This allows creative castings and makes these cantrips that are often forgotten at this level of play a viable option in place of their destructive counterparts. Only drawback is giving Emily more ways to womp turtle-free DM Murph.
True.
For a controlling share, I'm asking for 500 million eggs to my DM who came up with the idea, and one really nice egg from me. Thank you for your time, Turtles.
This is a scrumptious idea.
I love it. Take my eggs. Yeah, this is great. I think I wouldn't necessarily default to a bonus action for every single one of them. For example, Mage Hand, it's very simple to just increase the weight that it can hold.
Yes.
Which seems sicker to me than, like, bonus action Mage Hand, I think, is an Arcane Trickster thing. So it feels a little weird to give that to everyone. But I feel like increasing the amount it can carry could lead to some really creative stuff with Mage Hand.
Do you think there's a version of it where, like, you actually get to do damage with your Mage Hand? Like, it almost, like, evolves into a Bigby's hand at some point.
I don't think. I mean, then you're just stepping on Bigby's
hand.
I don't want to step on Bigby. That's the last thing I want to do.
I think it's, like, it's would end up having applications the more and more you were adding weight to it.
Yeah.
Or distance you could cast it. And, you know, it would be a small scaling thing. But, I think that, not necessarily bonus action for every utility, but I think there's lots of cool ways that you could do that.
And maybe it gets more dexterous too. So you could, like, play the piano during battle or something like that.
Whoa. Great.
That's what I've been waiting for. That's always been my one note in playing D&D.
I go over to the piano and begin playing a jaunty tune. That's going to be your entire action. Fuck!
What?
You could just play a bard and then you can do that.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So Mage Hand, it can carry 10 pounds. I do feel like that would solve a problem that frequently happens with players where it's like, I want to use Mage Hand to...
Yeah.
And they always want to do something cool with it, but that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I mean, just from like a fun play standpoint, like, you know, leveling up and doing cooler shit with your cantrip, like what happens to those spells as you become more and more powerful?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
a
fun thing to explore.
It is tricky. Because as Merv mentioned, I find my lips sealing. I find almost the lack of a chortle entering my beak. And it feels strange to me. But there are a lot of like built-in abilities for this already. Like with Minor Illusion, if you are a School of Illusion wizard, you get an upgraded version of Minor Illusion where you can do images and sounds at the same time. Yeah. So it seems like a lot of this stuff it might be stepping on other classes a little bit.
I think it seems fun. The only problem is that, like, will they then be too powerful out of combat? That I don't know, and that is something I'm willing to just put all my eggs in and play test.
I think that
just sounds fun to do.
Yeah, on first listen, hearing about the bonus action idea seems a little bit arbitrary, but it does kind of give it a clean, just, you know, for something like Spare the Dying, you don't want to have it also start to heal you.
Yeah.
But if Spare the Dying becomes a bonus action, then it becomes useful without being overpowered.
That's pretty sick.
So it is kind of a nice blanket thing. But I mean, maybe you could take it on a case by case basis.
Yeah.
And up things like the weight of Mage Hand, things like guidance. Maybe you could turn it from a D4 to a D6 or something like that.
Yeah. I like it. This is something that I would gladly fucking rigorously play test.
I like the bones of this. I like the bones of this.
Why rigorously?
Because it would be super fun to just play with a bunch of slightly beefed up cantrips.
Yeah.
It's just day 7 of your playtest and everyone's begging to go home.
It's just me and my cats.
I will bid on this. I'll bid the 500 million that you're asking.
Whoa.
What? It's going to be me versus you then?
They were asking for 500 million.
500 million in one, actually.
500 million in two.
Okay. One special egg, yeah.
I'm going to bid 500 million one and offer to play test it because I think I'll be a really good play tester because I will find the cracks.
Oh, that's a good deal.
And I will stick my finger in
them. Great. I think M's maybe a...
Wait, but Murph, why don't we go in on it together? It can be an Axe for Murphy and this person.
Great, an Axe Murph production. I love
okay,
it.
Okay, okay, right. We're going in together.
We're going to go in together.
We're going in together.
Mm-hmm. Actually, and just as a pure spoil sport, I'm going to go ahead and bid on this too, because I've never seen Emily and Murph so excited about something. And I have to have it.
I think we could safely say we get to roll with advantage because M's okay. helping me.
For mm-hmm. sure. Yeah, you guys get to roll with advantage.
Okay, we'll both roll.
Okay. Tell me what you get.
I got an 8.
18.
I got a 10. This idea nice. Is in its rightful Whee! Place.
All right.
Oh my God.
Very exciting.
Welcome to the family, Hatchling.
It's yeah, sick.
I just needed to make it interesting. Okay. Our next Hatchling, Jean-Philippe H. writes, "Hey there, centaurs. Didn't quite Whoa. Get the memo, but I like the callback."
Howdy.
"I would like to present to you my homebrew, Modifier Dice. During an attack, ability check, or saving throw, instead of adding a simple, boring modifier, you roll an extra dice. For example, plus 1 is a d2, plus 2 is a d4, plus 3 is a d6, etc.
Oh.
You can even add a third dice for your proficiency. For a negative modifier, you subtract your modifier instead of adding it. This may seem like a big change, but statistically, it would change your average roll by less than 1. I ask the Tortles for a simple owlbear egg for my breakfast tomorrow."
This, my first yeah. thing that I don't like about it, and this is so stupid of me, mm-hmm. I don't like the D2.
Have you seen a picture of a D2?
Oh, wait, you're right. Actually, I don't have a problem with it. It's just flipping a coin. Okay, yeah. That's much more satisfying.
It's flipping a coin or it's a D4.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's also a prototype of a D2 online that looked very cool.
I prefer people at my table flip a copy of D2, The Mighty Ducks.
Oh, my God. That makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Title yeah. card is heads and then the reverse.
Yeah, credits and blurb on the back. That's going to be tails.
They say that the ducks are back. and they're rollerblading. That's tails.
I think that's D3, but...
This is a DVD or a VHS?
Actually, it's house rules, whatever you have on hand, but I think VHS is going to give you a chunkier roll, right. And I prefer the VHS.
Oh, that's going to break every time. Absolutely break. Your VHS.
Yeah, sure. Oh, you need to have more than one copy of D2 if you're playing D&D.
Is it sad? I've never flicked a DVD like a coin. Like, is it satisfying to do? Has anyone here done that?
Can't say I have. I've
Jake or Caldwell, have you done that?
I guess I've dropped one before.
I've never intentionally flipped a DVD like a coin, and I don't have any DVDs in my house that I could.
Well, hold on, I got some DVD screeners. I'll go grab them real quick.
Okay, yeah, please.
You know,
do.
I don't know. I don't know that that's necessary. This is a Turtle Tank thing that Caldwell leaves to go get two-sided things for a bit that's not worth it.
And he's always gone for an extended period of time. Like, he's still gone.
Yeah, so he's going to come back.
He's back! He's going to come back.
There he goes. He's going to flip back. It.
Okay, that was pretty
cool.
Fast.
Doesn't have the case.
Hey, guys, what's up? I'm back. I got House of Gucci.
House of Gucci? Okay.
I'm gonna give House of Gucci a flip.
Okay. Go ahead.
Wait, let me call it heads.
No.
Sorry, it was shiny side. That's tails.
Great.
Oh, good will bit. You do it flipping it with your thumb?
Yeah. Okay, hold on. I'm going to flip it with my thumbs.
All right, then I get to call it again.
I'm going to put my thumb knuckle in the Great. Little hole in the center.
A Lady Gaga.
Great.
Heads.
That's saying heads.
Gaga be with me.
Okay. Cool. You dropped it.
It landed on the floor because it bounced off my microphone.
Good stuff.
Did it land on heads or tails on the floor?
This is sick.
Murph, we should start incorporating a DVD that we flip during.
Good. No, this is awesome.
It was heads, by the way.
Great. It was heads?
Gucci side up.
That's awesome. Yes. The people at home can't see it. It's not.
We'll start doing it for our video episodes for Dungeon Court.
Yeah, this would be great.
We should bring House of Gucci next time.
I think I see where this person's coming from. Like, it's fun to add more probability, but I think I like having my modifiers. I fucking earned them.
It's too many dice. Too much. It's going to be confusing.
Yeah.
I like this in theory. Like, when I first read it, I was like, oh, this is awesome. I like rolling dice. It's more dice. Mm-hmm. But then when you realize how often modifiers come into play, it's a lot of dice shuffling, I think.
And every sometimes time you attack, roll too much, I feel like you start to become numb to rolling too much, which is why I like when like a DM will be like, we'll just use the roll you got from before. Because it's like,
also,
yeah.
All this does is it adds rolls to a time when you're already rolling. Because it's not like this is spicing up something. It's just you're already making an attack. You're already about to roll the d20. now instead of adding plus 7, you add plus 5, and you have to roll a d4 to see what you're adding to the d20.
Yeah, I think I like the consistency.
It's many dice.
The consistency of modifiers, they're like the foundation upon which you play, you know? I'm freezing my eggs on this one.
You're freezing your eggs.
Wow.
I like the spirit of it because adding more dice and rolling more dice is fun, but you're also accidentally adding more math, which is an issue.
Oh.
I don't know, because like rolling damage for a fireball or something is really fun. Like rolling like a big handful of dice is awesome.
Yeah.
What doesn't do it for my eggs is that in this case, it's for a separate roll. It's to see what you apply to a different roll, which is just a little confusing and it's not very neat.
I think the only way that I like this, just trying to give them something, because they just asked for one owlbear egg, and like that's affordable.
That's not even our species.
That's like nice startup, yeah.
But I know some owlbears, and they would give me an egg if I really needed it. Yeah, cool. I would do an egg exchange. Maybe there's something here with like the coin flip aspect of it, where it's like you almost are gambling.
You mean the DVD flip?
The DVD flip.
Yeah, it's, yeah. Maybe there's something with the DVD flipping aspect of it. Where it's like, you can either take your damage bonus modifier or your modifier as stated, or you can do a coin flip and either lose your damage modifier or double it or something like that. And I feel like this would need to be like a special circumstance.
Yeah.
But at this point, this is like such a different idea that I'm just going to keep it for myself and market it and not put any eggs in.
I could fuck around with this for a day, but maybe not for all time. Too much math for me. And for that reason, I'm out.
I am out, but I do like that you got us to a place where we were flipping a Lady Gaga DVD. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you for the Lady Gaga.
Thank you for submission.
As a way of saying thanks, I am going to flip the Gucci dice again.
That's awesome.
Just to see if I'm going to go in on this.
Yeah. That's awesome was so dead inside.
This is one of the worst podcast bits ever.
Because people can't see it.
Just flipping
it is
something
true.
That is like a coin. It's just flipping a coin on a podcast.
Right. Well, I'm announcing the results. This is good radio.
Caldwell, do you have a different DVD you could go get instead of House of Gucci?
That would be...
It is Gucci side up, so we are all investing.
Great.
Okay, that's awesome. We do all actually end up investing.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
The more coin flipping we could do on this podcast, the better. And if it's just like, if it's like a cracker and there's like one side that's saltier and the other side's not, like that would be
fun.
Because then I could say salty side up and no one at home would see it.
Salty or crumble.
And they would just be like, okay.
Yeah.
So he's got a cracker. That makes sense.
I think my neighbor has a DVD. I could run next door and grab
it. Yeah.
I think my neighbor has a saltine.
Anything
so I'll
that
run
takes
and grab
more
that.
Than like a couple minutes.
Okay. Next one.
Okay.
Moving on.
Sean McSee writes, "Hey, Tortles, my pitch is simple. Stored nat 20s.
Ooh.
If you ever roll a d20 and you get a natural 20 during the game, the player can choose to convert that roll into a luck point to be used later. The player then rolls again and takes the new roll, whatever it is. This can be applied to advantage but not disadvantage, unless both rolls are nat 20s, in which case one is converted to a luck point and the other taken as the roll result. Luck points work the same as normal luck points, but you can only accumulate maximum of 3 at one time from this feature to prevent luck point farming. It's not designed to replace the lucky feat, and you can have both abilities.
That's crazy.
Now your nat 20 on a random perception check to see if the campsite is level or something is no longer wasted on a less important roll, but can be banked for a critical moment later."
Okay. First off,
this is a minefield.
Love that you're thinking. Love that you're ahead of the luck point farmers, because there would be.
Yeah.
It still doesn't prevent luck point farming
because
you can sit there and you can be like, "Can I do a perception check to see if my fart smells right now? Cool.
Same exact thing.
Let me go ahead and check. I failed. I really want to smell my fart again. And that's a 5. I really would love to see.
I had the same thought that it could still be exploited, because even one luck point is insane. 3 luck points, if someone were able to accrue 3 luck points per day, that's insane.
I don't think you should be allowed to do both, because then in theory you could end up with 6. I think that's a simple fix, and I think it is at the DM's discretion if your player seems like they are asking for a lot of checks. It's like, if you're going to allow this at your table, you just have to be vigilant.
And the table that you trust, you could do this.
I mean, you guys would do a cheeky little try, wouldn't you?
Every once in a while. Maybe a cheeky try.
You do a little cheeky try.
I think that it's hard, right? Because I do want the liberty to ask to roll for stupid checks, right? But then if I crit on one, then it would be like, ah, oh, fuck. I was just doing a bit by doing this roll. So it would put me in a position that...
You know what? Another thing that bumps me is that I don't like that there's no kind of in-game explanation for it. I guess luck points doesn't have as much of a thing, but like just the idea that you do really awesome at something and then that would apply to something else later kind of just feels a little anticlimactic.
There is no like rationale for the actual role play.
I think if you made an item or something that was like Ring of the Fates or something that like if you did if you got a natural 20, you could store it in the ring. You just do it once.
You just put it in one,
and it needs to be at like a moment where the ring feels that it matters. It's got to be like high emotion, hearts beating, it matters. So that way players can't cheese it. It's at the DM's discretion.
If you wanted, you could limit it to, I don't think it should be this, but something like an attack roll or something like that. So that it is a roll that has stakes, but that feels too bad. I mean, I'm not saying that because that's too hard.
Yeah.
I like what Murph's saying about like treating it like a divine object or something.
Yeah,
it's
like
something
that.
Given to a certain, cult or church. This is like a object bestowed with the power of their deity. And like it's used at the DM's discretion because of that. I think that's really sick. I will also say, as this homebrew is written, I feel like I don't like it because I do think that you should live or die by your dumb nat 20s. Like, if you roll a nat 20 on smelling your own fart and it smells so good that you like instantly pass out.
You just love it. Yeah.
I think that's what I was going to say is like when I first heard it, I was like, oh, this is awesome. But then I realized like actually it would be kind of a bummer to like crit on something stupid and then decide not to crit on it.
Yeah, right. Like when Beverly crit on the Werther's check. That would just become like a luck point later on. And it could be like, a 5 turns into a 17. So it's something that succeeds, but it doesn't create like a moment that everybody laughs about forever. You know?
Yeah.
I do think that you've thought of a lot of ways to try to balance it. I think that unfortunately, I think I like stupid nat 20s, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I like it as a ring though. That's really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Many ideas try to capitalize or improve on the critting on the nat 20, and I do feel like that's it's kind of such a perfect
it's flawless.
It really is perfect, and it's even in its flaws really like add to its perfection.
Yeah. And a ring is fun because if you're playing at home, you can actually go out and you can buy your player a ring and then you can present it to
and
them
you
at
can
the table
propose to them
just you just have to get it sized.
So I will say I think I'm out on this idea, but I will invest if Caldwell flips tails, let's say.
let's get out, can we get like a plate or something.
Coming to America starring Eddie Murphy.
Great. That's super funny.
Why do you have that?
It's a screener.
It's an Amazon screener.
I see.
My wife's in the guild, baby.
He's flipping it. Great. And
hit
it
the
fell.
Microphone. That's
it
good
fell.
For sound.
Hit the microphone and again. It was Coming to America side up, head side up.
Okay.
So I don't know what that means because I wasn't listening, but congratulations.
I think the version I like the most is Murph's pitch, which is it's just an item. It's for someone who has some kind of patron or divine thing, or the item is attached to something that is like the embodiment of luck or something, and it's just one.
I think it just you put one in it, and maybe it's even instead of a luck point, it's just a nat 20 that you can then use later.
Mm.
But it has to be a nat 20 that comes at a cost. Like it has to be a good heightened moment.
Yeah, you have to like choose to fail something.
Yeah, essentially.
And you can only do it once.
So I'll lowball you with just a few eggs. Just a few million eggs.
Some of those eggs look rotten.
Some of these eggs are rotten. I'm gonna come at you straight.
Those are greasy eggs, man.
How long have those eggs been in your fridge?
They've been here for a long time. But they're not even frozen. I do think together we can get this business going.
I think this idea is all yours. Moving on to our next hatchling, Chris. Chris writes, "Greetings, Tortles. Have you ever thought to yourself, I wish more things were as cool as monks catching projectiles out of midair and sending them back to whence they came?
Interesting.
Shit. Honestly, yes.
Yeah.
I come to you with a new action for spell combat, redirect. It's simple. Huh. If a spell attack misses by more than 10 or an opponent saves by more than 10 versus spell save DC, said opponent can redirect the spell to affect another creature within range. I'm open to ways of balancing this further. Wow, so it's a collaborative partnership. Limiting this to legendary creatures and burning a legendary resistance as part of the inputs, as this is basically a more controlled version of the Tarrasque's carapace. But I think we can all agree that more anime moments of catching something just to throw it at something else is a win for everyone. I ask for a mere 5 turtle eggs delivered to my phylactery in the upper deck of Ralph Wilson Stadium in Buffalo, New York, for 49% of this idea. Thanks for listening. Keep chortling. XO Chris.
You know what? I was inspired by Murph's last pivot to make it like just for one person. I would say this, if you gave this as like an item to your sorcerer or something like that.
Yeah, almost like a different meta magic thing.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Something like that. There is a spell that Murph gave me from Miroslav's Magic Manual. That's like from an old version or is a homebrew. That is something similar to this.
What the hell was this called?
It was called Spell Steal, is what it was called.
Spell Steal. Yeah, there's a homebrew spell that already kind of does this.
Interesting. It is. Spell Steal is a very sick name.
This always reminds me of the moment when Gohan rebounds that attack and hits Vegeta with it during like the first Dragon Ball Z arc.
Oh, hell yeah.
And it's like the sickest moment, and it only works because his heart is true. And I think, so there's a lot of ways to flavor it. Like, this could be a paladin thing if you want. This could definitely be a sorcerer thing. So I don't even know if it needs to be like bound to an item specifically, but like I think you can flavor this however you want. It's a really hot idea.
I think you just wouldn't want it to be table wide. I don't think you'd want it to be ever. I think it'd either be like one bad guy that they come up against or one player who can do this as a reaction the number of times of their proficiency or something like that.
Yeah, if this was like a class ability, I would totally take this class because it's really sick. I could imagine playing with that.
So
for sure.
Steal spell? Was that it?
Spell steal or something
spell
like steal. That.
Yes.
I could be right.
Okay, I'm gonna read
spell swipe
this version that I see on the D&D
something
wiki.
Something with an S.
It's a 3rd level spell. You cast it as a reaction. You attempt to steal the magic of a spell from a creature as it is releasing. If the creature is casting a spell of 2nd level or lower, you automatically steal the spell. You can cast this spell normally without expending a spell slot once within the next 12 hours or until you take a long rest, whichever comes first, after which the stolen spell is lost. To steal a 3rd level spell or higher, you have to succeed. It's basically like counterspell. So you only hold one at a time. So it's essentially like you don't cast it right back. You take it and you store it.
But like, exactly. It just seems cool.
Which I think is maybe a neater way to do it and a more balanced way to
do it. Yeah, than having to worry about how much you missed it
I do agree. I do agree that monks having like a catch projectile thing is super cool. But that's just one of the cool things about being a monk.
Yeah.
And monks don't do as much damage as like fighters and things like that. That's kind of, you need that to make them special.
Don't take it away from us,
don't
monks.
Don't take it away from the monks.
Let the monks be more than just stun spammers.
Yeah.
Although stunning someone is the best feeling
in
the world.
It is really good.
Very much agree.
So I think I might elect to do steel spell over this. Also, I think one thing that bumps me a little bit is just that when I visualize somebody missing by a lot, it means that, you know, the fireball is nowhere near where the person is. Ooh. So them bouncing it back kind of bumps me in like a... imagination control freak way.
I think sorcerers are a little underserviced. So I feel like if you have a sorcerer who wants a little something special, maybe they could just get this little spell steal thing, like, and they can use it per long rest according to their, like, that many times equal to their proficiency.
It's kind of just a different counterspell, and counterspell is one of the most fun spells to cast.
Yeah, exactly.
So just giving somebody another option for a counterspell, and it comes at a price, like you have to use a 3rd level spell and you might fail. So that feels good. And it maybe feels less arbitrary than if they miss by a lot.
So instead of like counterspell, it's a redirect spell.
Yeah, it's like, or it's like
to
store
me personally,
spell.
The one of the reasons I really liked it flavor wise is I thought it seemed really sick to cast other people's magic, like have other people's magic come out of your hands. You know, like
I fucking love
just
it.
seemed really awesome to me.
Yeah.
They're down to workshop it. So I want in and I want to workshop it. And I'll probably steal Emily's idea and do like the using it as a class ability or something.
Could we make this an Axe Merwitz Tanner production, though? Just like all go in on it.
Okay, maybe we're all in.
I personally am just going to contact the creator of Spellsteel and go into business against you guys.
Oh! Okay. Cool.
So
and I'm
the market is flooded.
Yeah, devious.
To be sure.
There is already a creator of that homebrew. So actually, I feel like this is legally dodgy. Mm-hmm.
All right, so we already absorbed Emily. Emily's been absorbed.
Wow.
I'm going to be coming out with a rival spell called Spell Scrump, which is where you slurp up a spell.
Cool. And sued? I'm sliding into financial ruin buried in legal fees, and I will never climb out of this hole. So I'm in. Let's do it.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content all in one place and all on your terms, folks. They've got beautiful templates and easy drag and drop tools. You can make a portfolio, you can make a blog, you can make a web series over there. You can do anything you want and you can do it all on Squarespace. So head on over to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first order of a website or domain. That is squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first purchase of a website or domain. squarespace.com/pawpaw. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here. I'm recording this ad literally hours before going to the airport on a trip to visit some family in New York. And if you're wondering, no, I have not packed my bags yet. Packing stresses me the hell out because I have to do wardrobe math about how many shirts and pants and underwear to bring. And let me tell you, folks, I always get it wrong and I always pack too much. That being said, there is one thing that always goes into my suitcase without a second thought, and that is my Raycon Everyday Earbuds. Raycon offers amazing audio quality at half the price of other premium audio brands. And Raycon's optimized gel tips are designed to fit comfortably in your ears and actually stay there. Which is good because it means I can go on a jog and not worry about them falling out and getting sucked into a sewer grate. Although I guess that's probably how the Ninja Turtles get their earbuds, so if some mutant creature living in the sewer happens to get them, I guess that wouldn't be too bad. But thanks to Raycon, it's not something I ever even need to concern myself with. So if you're also going on a trip soon and are looking to bring along the perfect pair of earbuds, go to buyraycon.com/pawpaw today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That is right, you're going to get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's buyraycon.com/pawpaw. All right, thanks for listening and have a great trip. Bye-bye.
Our next hatchling, Brian L. writes, "Hello, esteemed turtles. I'd like to present to you the Memory Mage. The Memory Mage is an NPC your party can encounter that offers to exchange a memory of theirs with one of your player's memories. The players can choose a proficiency, spell, background skill, etc. to sacrifice to the Memory Mage. The player then gets to roll a D100 plus a bonus depending on the potency of the sacrifice. The Memory Mage gives you a new trait based on the result of the D100. This gives players a chance to change their traits and opens the floor for storytelling the memory that is sacrificed. I'm offering this homebrew for the memory of having 1 million moist eggs."
I like that you clarified the texture of the eggs.
Yeah, and they're only asking for the memory of having the eggs.
Mm-hmm.
I really like this idea, and I don't think it's like overpowered to have it in your campaign once. Like, I think that I would take out the D100.
Yeah, the D100 is kind of confusing to me. I feel like if you're willing to kind of trade a proficiency.
Yeah.
Right. I think I'd be hesitant to like let go of something I know that I have that's good to like roll the dice and see if I get something.
Yeah,
right.
But everyone's going to be like, take my survival. Take my survival. Give me persuasion.
But it's still, it's.
But
it's a pretty...
I think people should be able to do that, especially even like just once in a campaign. That's like feels like a fun person to encounter, and it's like, hey, here's a chance. You've always been trying to get good at this thing. Mm-hmm. Like you always wanted to be good at it. Like,
yeah, if somebody's like kind of a charlatan and they're like, instead of persuasion, I want to be more insightful, and you trade your persuasion for your insight.
Yeah.
And then that does bring up character stuff later, and you could always bring that mage back as, you know, sort of somebody who's a bad actor or something like that. That'd be fun. Fun way to seed a villain.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Is it a choice that you make, like you trade something for something else, or is it randomized? I was having trouble understanding that part.
I think it'd be more satisfying as a player to... Mm-hmm. Choose, because you're choosing which memory you're sacrificing, so it should be.
It sounds like you choose, but there was something with potency was the thing.
Well, the player gets to roll a d100 plus a bonus depending on the potency of the sacrifice. So,
okay, it's like you give up like a third level spell or something. I don't know.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
I think I just like the simplicity of like, it wouldn't it be fun if when your characters are at level 10, they meet someone who lets them trade out something that feels like they've outgrown it in favor of something that it feels like they're growing towards it.
This is the move tutor from Pokemon, where you can like go and like say that your Kangaskhan has fury swipes, but you don't want it to have fury swipes anymore. You can switch it out for a new ability. Yeah, if you want to get rid of Growl and go with another ability or something like that. Or you made your Kangaskhan your HM slave and you regret that decision. Yeah.
But it's even like, you never know, like someone might start out like being really good at deception, but maybe their character finds a god that they're devoted to, and actually they want to be better at, you know.
Yeah, religion or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Like after, you know, 10 levels in, I feel like it's a nice way to honor that people are changing.
Yeah, I dig this. And it's also like, you can play it either way. Like this can be just like a pure beneficial exchange, or this can be some sort of freak that's like compiling memories and is going to do something evil with them. It's really up to you.
Oh, yeah. The character of Memory Mage is somebody that's like kind of fun to role play and introduce as well. And like maybe they circle back. That's super cool.
There's one version that's like very simple, and it's like, oh, let's help the characters tell their story. And then there's one that's like sinister monkey's paw fuckery.
Well, I love the idea of it being a BBEG type character who offers you this. And then based on what you give up, they become a villain that uses that.
Oh, yeah, that's
like
fun.
You know, you'd need, for some reason, you'd need deception checks to be able to get into their lair or something like that. And it's harder to do that now because you don't have proficiency in that.
Yeah.
Like they sort of base their stuff around your weaknesses.
Or even just like you, that's interesting. Or even they just someday use your memories against you.
Yeah. Or if you like forget, if you give up the ability to drive a car or something like that, they run over you with a car later.
Yes, exactly.
That's precisely it. I'm trying to think what would I give up? I'm like I can't really write cursive that well, but I would like trade that, you know?
Oh, you're talking about you, Jake?
Yeah, yeah, just me.
I've actually been getting really into writing cursive.
Oh.
It's like a
so
really
you wouldn't give that up.
Satisfying thing for me.
Really?
Now.
All right, so you're not touching that.
So I'm not touching that. I think the thing that's like bumping me a little bit is that it doesn't actually feel like character growth if you give up the memory of it, though.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, I feel like it's got to be a little bit of a sinister thing because there's nothing like cool or good about just like erasing things from your brain. Like, I guess you could, I don't know. Even with like a bad memory, I guess like taking it out would be good. But like,
but not even that, because then you grow from that.
Then you just pretending it didn't happen is strange.
I do feel like to take this gamble, the thing that you are trading it, like, well, so basically, if you need to make it a little more sinister, which I agree that it does.
Yeah, if you're taking memories,
then it needs to be more powerful. You couldn't just be like, okay, I'll forget how to survive in nature for an exchange for my charisma or whatever.
Yeah.
It's almost like a cursed item. Like,
It needs to be a malevolent mind mage, not a merry mind mage.
The sweet innocent version of this would be like a proficiency pruner. It's like a little druid who like clips a little here to inspire growth here. You know, that's the sweet innocent version in which people are just growing, but they don't take anything other than those proficiency points. But the memory mage is meaner.
Yeah, there's
it's more fucked up.
Yeah, if the mage is taking the full-on memory, something nefarious has to be at work.
Oh, you can give proficiency for expertise in something else.
Wow.
And I take your memory, right?
Yeah.
And so that then your players are thinking, wow, we're really getting away with something, huh? And then you there fuck you them go. With it somehow later.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I like that.
There is a way to do it that's just nice where there's just an NPC that can essentially train you through psychic magic that like allows you to have feel like you've already studied something.
Oh, true. This so they're great. Giving yeah. you memories.
Yeah, which is kind of would be interesting.
What I'm hearing here is this is two ideas for the price of one. So like whatever happens, like we're walking away with a freaking bargain on our hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like a memory campaign. I think that's a fun. Yeah. It's just a yeah. it's a fun vibe. It's a fun vibe.
I like
to
it
have.
Too. Yeah. I think I'm in.
I'm spraying eggs across this entire tank right now.
Here's a fucking armful of moist eggs for you.
Yeah.
I got a freaking backhoe full of eggs. I'm dumping them all over you.
I think I like the kind of themes here. I like the idea of a memory mage. But again, I think this maybe isn't cooked enough for my eggs. So if Whoa. You guys would like to roll it out between you guys.
Yeah, we all could right, yeah, all three like, of yeah. us go into business together. But I mm-hmm. think I want it all for myself. Let's roll.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I actually got an 18, but I think you want it more. So I'm going to roll disadvantage.
Okay.
I got a nat 20.
You can store it for later.
No, that's my really idea great. Is different. Mine is the proficiency pruner, and she's a sweet druid who prunes you for new growth.
Emily, I changed my mind, and I'm willing to go into business together.
Okay, let's do that then.
Great, I rolled a 3.
I rolled a nat 1, and I'm just now noticing that all my eggs are just painted rocks. I don't know how long they've been painted rocks, but all my eggs are rocks, and I'm really freaking out over here.
I mean, maybe you're a rock, and so you're giving birth to little rocks.
Your problem is that you didn't flip a DVD.
That's true.
To see if you want it.
It's 50% chance. I should have just flipped this No Time to Die DVD. You're right.
Yeah.
The dice feel the sheen of Gucci on your fingers, and they're insulted.
Okay. Were you going to say what it was?
Were you going to say something about the DVD, Caldwell?
No, I'm done.
Okay.
You were going to say it was Heads or Tails, weren't you?
Yeah. No, he showed it to us. It was the cover of the DVD.
It was Heads. It was No Time to Die, Heads right. Up.
Yeah.
But we hadn't put any stakes attached to the Heads or the Tails, so we just kind of flipped it and said which way it was.
To be fair, I set him up for it.
Okay. I think we have time for one more idea. This one's a brief one. This one comes from our hatchling, Austin J. And Austin writes, "We have a home rule in which if you bring snacks to the game, your character gets a point of inspiration. It has started kind of a cold war between the various bakers in our group trying to one-up each other, and they are making way too many cookies and treats. But is that really a problem?"
No, and that's not a problem at all.
It fully depends on what time you're playing. Because if this is like a after-dinner sesh and everyone's just like settling in for a treat, that's great. But like if you're playing at around like 6 or 7 and you're just like you're just having treats, like you're gonna get a sugar crash real bad. So I think that like it needs to be a full potluck situation here is what I'm saying.
Guess I have a confession.
Yeah.
I played a whole campaign in which inspiration was a thing. I don't know what it is. What is it? What is inspiration?
It's just advantage, right?
No, I don't think so. I think it's almost like a bar.
I know that I've heard the phrase point of inspiration a bunch, and I don't know how to use it.
I guess I just imagined it was like adding a digit or something, and you could accrue them.
Okay.
Oh my God, what is it? Fuck.
Okay.
Weird.
I'm on dicecove.com. Inspiration in D&D 5e explained. Oh, God. Am I going to read an article out? out loud. Inspiration
about,
is game
how
mechanic.
How about we flip the DVD? Heads, you read it. Tails, you don't.
Yeah, no, please.
I got please. The Aretha Franklin biopic. Do you want me to flip that one?
Oh, no, it is. It is with advantage.
So it's just advantage. Okay.
Okay. I was right. Okay.
You were right.
I love this. I think you're swimming in treats. This sounds great.
So basically, everyone gets a luck point if they bake something.
Whoa. Okay. So inspiration.
No,
is
it's not.
It like
it's not a luck point because a luck point. Is you re-roll something. Inspiration
oh, so
is
this
rolling
is
with
advantage.
Advantage.
Sorry.
So you don't
see,
get
yeah,
to
see.
Decide afterwards.
I think I didn't know how to say, I'm going to, I guess you're just like, I'm going to use my inspiration. And then you roll with advantage.
And then you roll with advantage.
And I'm
yeah.
feeling inspired, so I'll roll with advantage.
But does it have to be the next roll?
All right, Em, are you giving spoilers out that you don't ever use your advantage in an upcoming season of something?
I don't know if I get it a lot. I just remember it being said and being like, I really should ask.
Like, yeah.
Did you?
I'm going to file that away and then forget to ask between sessions. Is that what happened? Interesting.
Okay, interesting.
So
wow.
It's advantage, yeah.
Okay. I love this. You're drowning in treats. That's great.
There's really no downside.
It sounds like you have too many treats. So why don't you just shove all those baked goods into the tank?
Oh, that's nice. I'm feeling hungry.
Yeah, we'll take them.
Yeah, it can just get good and
get soggy
in here.
Soggy cupcakes in the tank.
I think as someone that doesn't really cook, I feel like this should be extended and you should get a point of inspiration if you like bring napkins or paper plates.
This is what I'm saying is like to avoid redundancies, you should be able to dole out certain responsibilities.
If I like go and pick up a bag of Tostitos, I get a point. And also if someone bakes cookies for 2.5 hours of that day, they get a point.
Yeah.
Hey, if I show up with ice,
Jake is going to break this rule.
The thing I'm curious about is that it sounds like there's like a little bit of a baking arms race, which begs the question, is only one person, the person who brings the best food, getting the inspiration?
That's kind of a great way to...
That's devastating.
Because then you discourage the Jakes of the world from abusing the system.
I'll pick up Levain.
You show up just with toilet paper. I noticed you were low last time.
Yeah, I saw you were low last time. I upper decked your toilet.
That's advice for life. If you just show up instead of with like a bottle of wine, if every time you go to somebody's like party or something, you just bring them a bunch of rolls of toilet paper.
That's kind of nice.
I would appreciate it.
It is.
I
mean, there are very few households that wouldn't use toilet paper.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a great move. So use that for life.
Yeah, I think as the DM, yeah, just like make everyone your personal DoorDasher.
Yeah, how's that for being classy? You show up to a dinner party with a fucking with a 16 pack of.
I knew you were gonna get too much wine, so here is the best toilet paper money can buy.
Ooh,
this is 2-ply.
I spent more on you than you would spend on yourself.
Right. I'm sorry, but this costs $18. How much did that Trader Joe's wine cost?
It's a great housewarming gift.
2-buck chuck versus $18, 64 roll toilet paper.
They don't sell this in stores. I had to get this personally crafted. I know a toilet paper crafter.
Okay, so I guess I'm in as long as we tweak this to anyone who brings toilet paper.
Yeah, also is
inspiration.
Included.
Inspiration.
Yeah. Just anything
also,
that's helpful
really
around
clear
the house.
About how it works.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
They bring you like some cutlery or something.
That's the kind of value add that the turtles bring to the tank. You know?
Right. Everyone needs to show up at your house with a baked good or a receipt for the value of the thing that they have purchased, and then you will personally ascertain how much each one cost and assign inspiration based on that price value. And that is going to make you a lot of friends, and you're going to have a good night.
I love when we pivot and just give really bad advice.
I don't think, people would think you were weird, but it is objectively
a
good
weird,
thing to bring toilet paper.
But then, do you really want to like wipe yourself? Like, do you want to think about your friend when you wipe yourself? Because
I wouldn't think about them. I would just
really.
I would, and I think I would be nice.
I think about y'all on the toilet.
I would think it was nice.
If I was wiping my butt with something that Murph gifted me,
I've absolutely texted all of you while shitting. So like, how is that different from thinking about you?
That's true. That's true. I guess it's like that, you know, when you use something that someone gave you, you have like that sweet moment of like gratitude for the friendship. Do you want that while you're wiping yourself?
I think so. Especially if you ball out and get the good, that double ply, you get that thick paper.
I think we're going to start a great trend. We're going to start a great trend because as soon as somebody gives it to you, then that's going to make you think, wow, I almost ran out of toilet paper. But then Jake came over and brought me a bunch of toilet paper. Now, next time I go to Caldwell's house, I'm going to bring a bunch of toilet paper for
them. Hashtag turtles for toilet paper.
Hashtag turtles for toilet paper.
Hashtag toilet tank.
Toilet paper.
Remember to cut your rolls, though, so the turtles don't get stuck.
That's right.
Remember to cut your rolls.
Do you think that somebody sells toilet paper that has like roll for advantage written on it and like the roll is like a toilet paper roll?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to need to get that delisted from our store.
Or one of those doily dollies that you put to make your toilet paper more modest.
I got to be honest. I don't love the merch toilet paper. I wouldn't want to like rub ink in my butt. Especially.
That's true. What if it was like aloe ink though?
Aloe ink?
Yeah, it was healing ink.
All right. Then yes. I'm in.
Okay.
Great. We found it. We got Murph on board.
Yeah. Okay. I think we're all in on this idea. This is the type of home stuff that we don't get to do on our show. The idea is bringing snacks and getting inspiration.
Right. But we can't do that because I guess we could do it.
No, we can't do it because can you imagine if like Hard One saved Gemma because you brought cookies?
Oh, yeah.
Like we can't do it in our show, but this is the type of stuff that's nice about home games. You're not held to like audio, like we basically make an audio book every other week.
Can I just say that I don't think you should do this because as someone who can't cook, this gives me so much anxiety to think about, but it would be so fucked up if you just gave inspiration to the person who brought the best food.
Yeah. It's a great way to turn people against
each other. That's dangerous.
I
don't advise that.
It'd be so fucked up.
It's dangerous but fun because you are just having a British bake-off every time before you play.
That could be what's going on. There is a Cold War. I don't know if it's just a pride thing of people want to have the best snacks.
Yeah,
or
it's probably just people getting into it.
This is why I think there needs to be a stipulation. You need to have like a sign-up sheet before each session where it's just like, all right, this is what we need. You got to potluck style this and then I'm in.
Right, and with your basic household items. Like I need dishwasher pods.
Right.
Yeah.
I need toilet paper.
Again, just making your friends your DoorDashers. Yeah.
Basically, build like an Amazon Fresh cart, but then send it out to your friends.
Right. And just be like, do you want inspiration, ?
Yeah. I hope no one has to go number two at my house tonight because I don't have toilet paper.
Because I'm out of toilet paper. Do you guys want to roll? I think we're all in on this, right?
Yeah, we're all in.
All right, let's go ahead and do a roll.
God damn it.
Oh my God, Nat 20.
Oh!
Fucking hell. Ooh. Shout out to the two crew.
Wow.
I'm taking this business. I love it. Let's do that. Let's use this business to pivot hard into bringing toilet paper to people's parties.
That is
it's
a cash
nice.
Cow.
Everyone loves it. If you want to bring some paper towels as well and some
dishwasher
fluid.
Everybody loves it, but we've never tried it. It's so funny.
Everyone, well,
it's
yeah,
nice.
You have to
everyone
know,
loves
you
it.
Have to know the people quite well.
Yeah.
But then you could be, you're the funny guy and the thoughtful guy.
Oh, what a beautiful combo.
What a beautiful combo.
Do you roll up with it like unwrapped or is it like in a, is it wrapped
up? It's like,
up? Is there a
it's
bow
like
on
you've
it?
Got a six pack of beer.
Yeah,
it's just very casual. Just a
you
loose
could get
pack
a little
six
paper. Pack holder like and it's just toilet paper.
Yeah, it's just a six pack holder full of toilet paper. I'd be delighted.
Yeah. And just when you take a next shit, you're thinking of me. You better believe
that. Show up like Riggins to a party after a big Dylan Panthers game, except you've got a six Whoa. Pack of toilet paper.
Toilet
I love
paper.
It.
People would be like, yeah, I guess.
Everyone
would
be
mean,
like,
thanks.
Well, I mean.
You saved me a trip.
We can all shit now.
Sweet. All right, guys. I think let's go ahead and wrap this one up. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll be doing hearing some more homebrew from Hatchlings over on our Patreon, patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADDPOD. Don't sing yet.
Wee.
Don't do it. Sorry. Please don't
okay,
do
fine.
It.
Sorry Jeez, about that.
I have something to plug.
Yeah.
Ooh.
This book I read, Vita Nostra, it was super trippy and I don't even fully understand it. And I just got a real kick out of it.
Yeah. And was Googling the meaning of her book for a while.
Yeah.
The other day.
Nice.
I love
it's
that.
It's really obtuse, really abstract. It really was a fun read to just All drop right. into something that was so aesthetic and incomprehensible.
Vita Nostra?
Yeah.
That's cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
Does anybody have anything else they'd like to plug?
I'll plug our live shows because I think I've heard tell that our show in Vancouver and New York are both sold out, which means only Toronto is left.
Toronto
so check
remains.
Out nadpod.com/live and try to see us in Toronto if you can.
Come see us in Toronto.
We've got more stuff coming up too. So
keep
a lookout.
Catch me at Honest Ed's. That's a place I know about from Scott Pilgrim, but it seems cool.
Great.
Okay.
I would love to plug Sana Khan's World of Warts. It's a zine I bought a couple months ago. Their handle is @pencil.stabber. And it's literally just like a little zine of like a frog having adventures and saying little quotes like, I'm perfectly comfortable, thanks. I can be a sucker for punishment. And it's like a little frog balancing on a ball. It's really cute. It's kind of like, it was like a little foundational inspiration point for building Saul's character. So thank you, Sana Khan, for this cool little zine.
Yeah, very cool stuff. Sweet, guys. You can follow us on social media that we may or may not use at @CHMurphsMe, @CaldiesCaldwell, @AstrodsEmily, and @CheekerWitchesJake. And you can tweet about the show using #NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
We are.
The
the youth of the nation. We are the gooch of a nation.
Ah, it's time to thank our benevolent Council of Elders, starting with Brad D., Jeffrey S., QC, later McSkater, Matt M., Jordan DJ, Cutter W., Daniel G., Dylan B., who is missing his own D&D game to see NADPOD live in LA, Dungeon Mama, Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Beardman Dan, Scott D., Danny P., Michael Mick D., Vincent W., Miss Tur Cole, Victor T., Balnor's Boy Forever, Dominic Person, Andrew B., Justin I., Ragnar Ferdwin, TJM, Trele, The Cray Fay, Jared E., Christopher B., Damiel R., Cyborg Version of Josh the Kobold, the head chef at a little place called Manja's, Richard X. Machina, Michael L., Taylor S., Callum L., Jack L., Sam L., Nicholas C., Thaddeor Lee Gladiator, nice, Samuel B., Mike H., Matthew E., Way Cooler Than Angry Wheat, Adam G., Tyler F., Faust the Feisty, Panama James, Andrew the Bard, Nope Sorry, Just Andrew, The Druid Here, Adrian the Halfling, Bartificer, Calder's Other Helm, which is possessed by the spirit of El Che Guevara. Wow, good stuff. Captain Sigil, Diana de las Lopez, CC Lulu, Michelle O, Hercule Poirot, the Rabbit Folk Detective, Timmy R, Croc-aholic, Lucas B, Rayco, It's Kevin, and here it comes, Calder's Cold Cum, hashtag Rise My Comrades, Spread the Comradery, Knee Orc, Taylor B, the Vengeful One-Winged Angel, sick name, Cass Skateboard Cass, Stephen C, Michael M, Mike K, Lady Taco, Brian G, Joy T, Nara, Jake L, Nick W, Brave the Badger, Esme M, Foster the Boneless Duck, Aaron the Asshole Ranger, Big Bad Beardo the Mad, Eric McD, Giant Monsters on the Horizon, Galad Roselle, the White Rose of Galateron, Christian A, J Dragonborn, Joe Rowe, the Inapro-Pro, Liam D, the Sandrian, Ben A, Feldonis, John III, Dave H, Vivian, Koala Bear, Catherine S, David K, Christian S, Rebecca G, Dustin S, Connor F, Hawkeye Pierce, Bookvar's Assistant, Izzy F, Wood Elf Theron, who is desperately trying to fix his oath bow, Cat C, Kelsey J, Pork Chop, Michael T, Ariel the Occasional Mermaid, Selena N, a.k.a. the Lacey Raptor, Bepperky Always, Bepperky Always, nailed it, Pat L, Achutha A, Lauren H, Ryan S, the Bone Duster, the Charming Fluff, Robert Crisp, Telekitty Creations, Fan Illustrator, Insert Request. Okay, let's do the Calder Cali Barrel Roll scene. Love to see it. Ploops, Carly A, Addie K, AP, Cleric, Lori P, Those Who Love and Give Where They Can, Murph the Nerf Mascot, Grant L, Connor Savage, Christopher J, Pebblepot, Why Are Dragons Amazing Musicians? They Know Their Skills. Nice! Salil, Leviathan, BioCourt 7, Remington, CD, Amber Dextrous, Kai, The Ham Sandwich, Sullivan H, Trub Hop Dropper, Sydney T, Jack H, Strong Caldwell, Conspiracy Theorist, good stuff. Nice to have a believer. Fondere, The She-Wolf of Winter, Garble the Moist, Lindsay W, Juicy Kiwi, and Their Tiefling Barbarian Essence. Question mark? Champ W, Valen, Beep, Barbarian, Bastard, Baby of Brian and Brennan. Good stuff. Carlin C, Stan the Dragon Man, Holder of Too Many Bags, Emily S, TRIP, Harry Cox. I see what you did there. Noah, the Bagel of All Things, Justin LB, Tori, Levi L, Pendergreen's Pungent Pudding, hashtag CCC, hashtag Slanging Rope. Bunny, Marcos P, Pup Kalish, Learns the Balance Druid, Dakota JP, Frida M, Pagos the Self-Proclaimed Fey Prince, Tracy P, the Crick Elf Librarian, Briar Frizzet, Andy E, Holly Hyena, Kristen Z, the I Will Use What You Love Against You DM, good stuff, tough stuff, Leah C, Paige H, Helen of Briz, May B, Pixel Stars, Akash,
T, Kristen with a K, Cal, just Cal, Commodore Galaxy, Edison N, Russell H, a monk named Dilgo, yes the whole thing, yes every time, Zero Parody, Neos the Novice Monster Hunter, our new friend Simon, we all had a crazy shared dream and he was in it too, we sang one big bed, it was nice and weirdly familiar, Lorelei F, Morgan M, a peeling sticker, oh my goodness, you hate to see it, Stephen E, Sydney and Andrew L, Meg the mail carrier of Bohemia, James F, Cap'n Cappy, M4L, Wayfarer, currently in a trademark dispute with Mothership over the patent on the SS Storm Bjorn, Godspeed, Andrew B, Copefresh, Barpo, Good Barrel, Bard, Barian, and Brewer Emeritus of Waterdeep, Welsh Lander, Garrett G, One Big Curd, Eric M, Mr. D, Sean J, Mr. Silly Head, Ethan B, Monster Captain, Renee S, Hope's Dagger, the only dagger of hope, Olivia, the enchanting bard who will totally be making money and a grand novel off the Duck Team with an on-the-go All the Stops show, you know it. Blue Slade, the artificer. Michaela R. Riley S. Sir Sig 93. Fico. Angry Wheat. The game itself on a shelf. Tony G. Corbo's Calamitous Cumshot. Hashtag CCC forever. Sorry, Jake. Don't be sorry. It's okay. Josh H., Jack the Jax Jinxing Rogue in search of Bohemia's biggest balls, a horse killed by hard ones, sorry about that, Mango Empanadas, Rented Mules, Mystical Mustioliata, Trogdor the Burninator, Clementine T., Caleb L.S., Obi-Quan, Simone Birdlife M., Pixie the Kelpie, Cantrip Dumbledore the Bear Onesie-Wearing Barbarian with Bad Luck, Curtis WMJ, who sings both parts of Evanescence's Bring Me to Life, amazing, Camden L, and finally, Samantha K. Thank you all.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.